Fourth and final hour of 3D on this Monday afternoon. Darren and Donick with you. One more hour. Should be joined by Sean McDonough here shortly. He'll be in the booth tonight with John Gruden because the Titans and the Colts will be doing battle Monday Night Football. Our question for tickets to go to Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night and see the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. Colin Wilson was selected 7th overall in the 2008 NHL draft. Which was, where was that? Where was 2008? Is it in Ottawa?
I don't remember, but I know I was on the floor of Bridgestone Arena. We had a big draft party for that one because the Predators had two first round
picks. It was in Ottawa.
It was in Ottawa, okay. In Ottawa, Predators selected Colin Wilson, who will be in the house tomorrow night wearing an Avs jersey. Who was taken number one overall? Your answer? Steven Stamkos. He's turned out to be a pretty good player for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Drew Doughty went number two overall to the L.A. Kings. So that was your correct answer, Steven Stamkos. Congratulations, Jamar Perry. Jamar Perry was the lucky winner as the lines exploded. And Lamar had the correct answer of Steven Stamkos.
Avalanche were 4-2 to start the season.
It's early. This is exactly why we don't get too high and we don't get too low in an 82-game season. Because no one believes that Colorado is going to be there in the thick of things, right?
Well, but right now, if there's a time you don't want to play them, this is probably it. They're playing well and they've got all their guys healthy. They do have some very talented players, just like every team in the league. It's a salary cap league. There's not that much difference between the top and the bottom, just like the NFL.
Willie, do you know when you don't want to play the Syracuse Orange in football? On Friday
last
night.
Last Friday night.
On Friday night. You don't want to go into that place and play the Orange
the
on Friday
was
night.
Rocking.
Sean McDonough, our next guest, knows all about that. He knows you're just not going to walk into the Carrier Dome on a Friday night and push
That's
Syracuse
right,
around.
That's right. That was a fun watch for sure.
Where were you watching? Were you at home?
I was at home in Boston, kicking myself that I didn't go.
That's what I was
going
to ask.
To go up. You know, we have to be on site on Saturday, wherever our Monday night football game is, because we go watch the home team practice on Saturday. So the Friday night game was really the only Syracuse game I would have a chance to go to, and the athletic director had invited me up, and I was going to go, you know what, it's a busy time of year, and a lot of stuff going on, and they're going to lose, so, you know, why go up there? And I was kicking myself for not going when I watched it on TV Friday night from our home in Boston.
23-point underdog, outright winner. Wow.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Cool.
Also,
they deserved it. It wasn't a fluke.
No, not at all.
Dabo Sweeney said Syracuse really did outplay him, and if you watch the game, you know, that really was true. They deserve to win.
No question about it. I saw the piece on you and your brothers on Real Sports on HBO. Pretty cool. Obviously, we all remember your father, but to see where you guys are today in the sports world, pretty neat. What did you think?
Well, I thought they did a great job. I was really flattered when they asked. You know, I've been an avid watcher of HBO Real Sports with Brian Gumbel for a long time, and always thought there was a reason why they won a lot of Emmys for sports journalism, because they do a great job. So, you know, when John Frankel approached me with the idea of doing it, we were flattered and honored more than anything else. And then I thought they did a great job on the piece. You know, my youngest brother is the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, and my other brother, Terry, is the vice president of player personnel for the Arizona Cardinals. And the thing that John found interesting when he first talked to me about doing the story was that each of us has a world championship ring. I have one from the Boston Red Sox when I was one of their announcers in 2004. Terry has one from when he was scouting for the Baltimore Ravens. And Ryan has one from when he was the assistant GM of the Boston Celtics. So, you know, three brothers with a world championship ring in different sports, he thought that was the hook. And then that never even got in the piece. That was kind of the genesis for the whole thing. But I thought they did a great job. And they're really nice people. You know, our family just really enjoyed interacting with John and with Barrett Remack, the producer, and all of their technicians. They were really, really nice people.
Yeah, I learned in the interview, Sean, that your brother Terry, very quiet, reserved, and humble. There's no doubt. When he asked the question,
yeah,
why do you think we're, you know, why did you guys get these jobs? Because we're damn good. That's why.
Yeah. I don't know if he said damn, but he definitely said we're good. And, yeah, Terry, I was glad that, you know, the HBO audience got a real sense of Terry. You know, the three of us are all quite different. You know, Ryan is kind of the most quiet and reserved, and that came through, I think, in the piece. And we're all emotional. I mean, we kind of joked with each other about who would cry the most, and I think I cried the most, but I'm not sure that made it on the air. But I did ask the producer when they interviewed us all individually, did I cry more than the other two? Or, you know, it was very emotional talking about them and talking about our dad. And, you know, I know how proud he is and would be of Terry and Ryan and what they've accomplished. And, you know, I sure as heck am too.
We now that you're in your second year in the booth with John Gruden, calling Monday Night Football games, you're here in our city, Titans and Colts tonight. How long, and you've done so many, you know, sports, and I'm not going to ask you, what's your favorite sport? Because I know the answer. It's like asking, what's your favorite kid? I get it. So I'm not going to ask that question. But how long did it take to, you know, it's about chemistry in the booth and to mesh. And was it an easy transition for you guys to form the relationship and to kind of see the product that we get today?
You know, in all honesty, I don't think it was easy. I thought it really took till toward the end of last season where I started to feel comfortable. You know, I was really the only new person. I mean, we had a couple of new people in the truck in various positions, but, you know, most of this Monday Night Football production and technical crew has been together for a long time. So, you know, I was accustomed to working with the same people in college football and college basketball and had their way of doing things, our way of doing things. And then, you know, this was significantly different in many ways. And John, as you guys know, is a unique character. It took some time to get used to, you know, his tempo and what he likes and what he doesn't like and how he wants to prepare and, you know, what he wants to get into on the air, what he doesn't want to get into. So, you know, I thought we kind of found a nice rhythm toward the end of last year, and I think this year has been infinitely better. You know, people said some things about chemistry last year, and I was like, you know, we've done five games together. It'd be nice to have a little bit of time to establish a little understanding of how it's going to work. But I think we have, and you know, I think this year's been really comfortable, and I think the listeners, viewers are probably seeing that as well.
Sean McDonough on the line with us. Before I flip this to Willie, Sean, Derek Mason is a part of our show every day. He's out today. I would have left this question for him because you were on the mic for the Michigan State crazy finish a couple of years ago. And I would have left that question for him. How nuts was calling that ending to that game with the botched punt?
Oh, it was crazy. You know, I mean, you can sit there and anticipate a lot of things. You know, I think most of the time you're calling games, you're trying to be aware of all the possible things that might happen. But, you know, that was a very hard thing to see coming. And, you know, it was one of the wildest, most dramatic endings of a big college football game ever, you know, and I think my call just reflected the astonishment. I didn't mean to scream like a 12-year-old, but but that's just sort of what came out. You know, in this job, you have to do it live, and you don't get a chance to do it over again, and hopefully your call reflects the moment and the significance of it, in that case, the craziness of it. So I was a little embarrassed at the time that I squeaked and squealed, but, you know, as they replay it the last couple of years, you know, I think it matched the moment, so I'm fine with it.
Sean McDonough is with us in town to call the Monday Night Football game tonight, Titans at Colts over at Nissan Stadium. Sean, I guess we're getting nostalgic here, but I want to ask you one, again, long-ranging question about your career. My father-in-law was the baseball coach at Dartmouth in the mid-'80s when you were doing the weekly Ivy League Game of the Week back then when you were right out of college, so he can go way back. He noticed you very early, and of course, I've married into a total Red Sox family, so they have watched a lot of you. But you're a guy that you've been around for a long time, and you jumped in. You did the World Series when you were very young in the early 1990s, and you've sort of stayed consistent to doing a lot of different things. But just your background and where you learned how to do play-by-play, the versatility that you've shown, I think, is very interesting, and you've been able to go wherever the opportunity has taken you. So where were the roots? Where did you learn how to do play-by-play and how to maybe do it in a lot of different sports?
Well, you know, I appreciate the question because you know, I enjoy the versatility. I probably enjoy doing football more than anything else. You know, I know we kind of touched on that a little bit ago, but what I always really wanted to do when I got in this was do all the sports. I grew up wanting to do this because I loved sports. You know, when it was baseball season, I was totally immersed in that, and basketball, hockey, football, whatever it was. So I didn't start out necessarily with my goal to be involved in any particular sport. You know, being around my dad, who was a longtime sports writer for the Boston Globe, you know, we went to spring training for the Red Sox when I was a kid. I mean, a very young kid. And he couldn't take me into the press box, but the Red Sox radio announcers could say who could sit in their booth and who couldn't. So my dad was able to stash us in there, stash me, really. I was the only one old enough to go to the park, and I was probably 5 or 6 years old at the time. But I remember watching them thinking, wow, what they do is kind of cool and looks like a lot of fun. So I got a tape recorder, and literally 6 or 7 years old, they told this story on the HBO thing. You know, sat in front of the TV and just announced everything I could possibly watch as a sporting event off the TV. And knew from that age that this is what I wanted to do. Went to Syracuse to learn more on how to do it, and because they had a great reputation producing sports broadcasters. And, you know, you kind of develop your own style as you go. Well, listen to the tapes, watch the tapes, try to figure out what's good and what's not, and, you know, respond accordingly. But I've been blessed. I've been blessed every day of my life. But, you know, to have this as my occupation for all these years, you know, knowing since I was 5 or 6 years old, it's what I always wanted to do, I feel enormously blessed.
Well, let's fast forward to tonight and get your angle on what you're looking at tonight. It's, from the Titans' perspective, a vital game, trying to get back in the division race. The division looks so winnable right now, but this is one that they really need. And I guess we'll start with the obvious, the uncertainty of Marcus Mariota. It looks like he's going to give it a go, but the question will be, you know, how effective will he be? How's he feeling?
Yeah, I think he will give it a go. You know, I was very impressed by him. I'd heard so much about him. Scott Frost, who was his offensive coordinator at Oregon, now the head coach at Central Florida, is a really good friend of mine. And Scott doesn't throw compliments around lightly, and he's just always raved about what an impressive guy Marcus is, in addition to his obvious football talent. And, you know, the character really comes through when you sit there and talk with him, you know, in a very humble way. He's just a very impressive guy. So looking forward to watching him play in person for the first time. I don't think he'll be able to do what he usually does. I don't think he'll be anywhere near as mobile as he usually is, but he's going to go out there and give it a try. You know, we had the same thing last week, and I hope the same thing doesn't happen. You know, Sam Bradford was questionable with a knee injury. He went out there and tried to gut it out and clearly wasn't very effective and wound up being replaced. So I'm hoping that that doesn't happen to Marcus tonight. But as you said, you know, it's an important game for both teams. I think this division is winnable for any of these four teams. And, you know, starting into the year, I know John Gruden really liked the Titans, and I did too, based on what they did last year and who they had coming back and some of the additions to the roster. So, you know, they need to get it going. And, you know, less than 200 yards of offense the last 2 weeks, regardless of who the quarterback is obviously not going to get it done.
How hard in this league is it to try to predict 1 week to the next? It's so tough when you think one team's on a roll and they're going to get it all figured out and take control of their division. You see something like what you saw last night with the 0-5 Giants winning, and there's so many games you can circle that remind you of that. The Dolphins, who looked awful at beating the Titans last week, they go ahead and win in Atlanta, coming down 17 points, coming back and winning. You just can't figure this league out, can you?
No, you can't, you know, and I guess it's always had some unpredictability, but it seems to be more this year than I can ever remember. I mean, we were joking last week about, you know, the Patriots and the Jets had the same record. Before the season started, a lot of people were saying, you know, the Patriots might not lose a game and the Jets might not win a game and they're probably tanking. So that they went into that game yesterday, both 3-2, is amazing as well. So you never know. You know, I don't think this game would be a surprise tonight if it went either way, because I think they're relatively evenly matched. I do agree with what you guys are saying. You know, it's a game that the Titans should win, you know, at home. Hopefully they have a healthy quarterback. Andrew Luck not playing. Jacoby Brissett's done a really good job of learning on the fly and giving them the chance to win the couple of games that they've won. But I think there are a lot of matchups tonight, a lot of circumstances in this game that favor the Titans, and it's really one they should win.
Sean McDonough is with us. Sean, one more. Me being a play-by-play guy for the Predators, we experience this a lot with the replay challenges in hockey. And you brought up the Patriots-Jets game. That made me think of it. you had a controversial call that was called a touchdown on the field that was overturned that went against the Jets. And it seems to me nowadays, when you're really slowing it down here, it gets cut so fine sometimes. But you as the announcer, along with John Gruden, you've got to interpret it. You've got, I guess, now referees with experience in this that you can lean on sometimes. But that's got to be a tough thing for you guys in the moment to try to discuss and point out all the little things that they're looking for.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't even know. You know, it does help to have Jerry Austin in our booth. And we yield to him because obviously his knowledge of the rules and the replay process is much more extensive than ours. And it's just nice to have somebody there who has that expertise because I don't want to make a mistake on the rules or officiating matters. So he's there. But, you know, I wouldn't care if replay went away completely as an officiating tool. It's almost gotten to the point now where it's so intrusive, the delays are so long. You have a situation like you just mentioned in that Patriot-Jet game yesterday where, you know, replay is supposed to, was when it brought in, was supposed to correct obvious glaring errors. You know, now they're finding microscopic errors that don't even appear to be obvious to anybody, or they're making mistakes in their calls with the replay. Yeah, like in the case of the Jets yesterday, I mean, I think any football fan who watched that would just say, that's a touchdown. You know, so when you get to the point where you feel like you're getting victimized by bad calls as part of the officiating process, rather than having them correcting obvious bad calls, then maybe it's time to rethink the whole thing. You know, I wouldn't mind if it just went away and we got back to the old human error. Okay, bad call, bad break, part of the game, let's move on.
And let's scream on Sports Talk Radio the next day about it. That's how it works.
Yeah, exactly right. But I mean, I just think it's, you know, the officiating part of the replay part of the officiating, it's just gone way far what it was intended to when it started out. You know, to be there to correct obvious, egregious mistakes, not, you know, get into the minutia of that play that you mentioned. And a lot of like that, you know, we see over and over again every week. It drives John crazy. John Gruden, you know, he just can't stand the lengthy delays as they grind through these replays.
I believe we've had the hottest month of October in the history of our city. Unfortunately, that's not going to be in play tonight. So for that, we apologize, but we do thank you for joining us.
No, I like the cool temperatures. Okay. You know, we don't need to sweat to death on HD television, so it's fine. Weather's been mostly good here all weekend. I'm actually going to go for my pregame run here when we hang up and go see your beautiful city, but we're sure excited to be here. You know, this is one of the hot cities in America, maybe the hottest, and it's fun to come here. It must be fun to do those Predator games, too. I love hockey and enjoyed watching the playoffs last year, and you know, I would love to see a game here sometime because the atmosphere just seems to be, you know, well beyond what is the norm around the NHL.
Well, let us know if you're in town for a game ever.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah,
make
I actually looked at the schedule and was disappointed. I think they played at Chicago Saturday night.
On Saturday, yeah. Here,
but, yep. Yeah, I would love to see a game. If we come back, I'll take you up on that because I love hockey. And as I said, it was captivating to watch the atmosphere on TV for those playoff games during the great run last year.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really good to talk to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Have a blessed day. Thanks for having me.
You do the same. Sean McDonough, he'll be in the booth tonight with John Gruden on ESPN as the Titans and Colts will indeed kick off tonight at 7:30. And should be a lot of fun. We'll see how it all plays out. We'll come back with more of 3D next. Hey, if you're going to the game tonight or you're looking for a place to watch it, we've got the place for you. It's Barlines inside the Nashville Omni Hotel downtown. If you're going to go there, hang out, get yourself a nice meal, maybe grab a drink, watch our pregame show. Jason Fitz and Floyd Reese will be there tonight, starting at 5 o'clock. Jared and the GM will reside from Barlines at the Omni. If you're going to the game, that's the place to be. Or if you're just going to stay there and watch the game, that's the place to be. There's not a bad seat in the house. It is a great setup at Barlines, downtown Omni Hotel. I'll give you a chance to win something else here in just a bit. You want to do headlines? We haven't done headlines in a while.
I think we should. I think this game is going to tell us a lot. This is a gotta have it. I think when the season is over, you really have to hope that the loss last week in Miami, where you just missed an opportunity to beat a team that was really struggling. I don't know what got into the Dolphins yesterday to be able to beat Atlanta at Atlanta. Down 17 to nothing, no less. But we know what we saw from the Dolphins last week in Miami. They weren't very good, and the Titans couldn't pull it out. So this week and next week, going into the bye, it's a gotta-have-it. It is a gotta-have pair of games here starting tonight. So can they, will they get it done? The line has gone from 2.5 to 8.
That is insane.
From Friday to today. I guess because somebody knows something. Looks like Mariota is going to play. The question is, how effective will he be?
Okay, before we get into this, because we're going to ask people, let's find a prize, Chase, to award somebody with the best headlines. We love doing this. This is fun. What will the headlines read tomorrow after tonight's game? But first, since we had Sean McDonough on, and we love to talk to play-by-play guys, especially at that level, Dick Stockton is a Hall of Famer, right? He is an unbelievable broadcaster.
And like Sean McDonough, a former Red Sox announcer.
That's correct.
And like Sean McDonough, a long-time, rock-solid play-by-play guy in a number of different sports.
Well, rock-solid 99% of the time.
And we've all been there.
But he did have, or people have had fun at his expense. He was doing the Rams-Jags game down in Jacksonville on Sunday. And just as you know, Willie, during broadcasts, you have to read copy. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Promos, they call them.
Yes, Dick Stockton.
Let me paint the picture. What happens most of the time is you are focused 99.5% of your attention on the game. You're thinking about the next play. What's my call going to be? But what happens is the stage manager will hand you a card, and you have to read that card. It's a little drop-in for something that's going on CBS or Fox or whatever that's happening. You got to read it, and you get back to the game.
Okay. Here's Dick Stockton yesterday doing the Jags-Rams game.
That's a critical penalty. Well, coming up on the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points. Well, sometimes...
That's where it cut off.
So explain to the listeners. Look at the graphic for the final 2 points.
Well, that's exactly that could have happened to any announcer, and I'm sure behind the scenes Dick probably wasn't, and I've never met Dick Stockton. I'm sure he wasn't very happy with somebody for not tipping him off to that, because there's probably a parenthesis.
Well,
he was supposed
to
look at the
monitor
and say, here's what's coming up. Here's
correct.
What they're going to add to that specific promo for the halftime show.
All right, one more time.
So he just read.
Now
what
that
was,
you know.
He read what was in parentheses. He wasn't supposed to read that. He
read
was supposed
exactly
to refer.
What was on the teleprompter.
That's a critical penalty. Well, coming up on the Visa Halftime Report, Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony look on graphic for the final two bullet points. Well,
silence.
Sometimes...
Silence.
Sometimes he realized right away.
The color guy doesn't know what to do.
But I'm sure Stockton realized right away, I don't think I was supposed to read that.
Oh, boy.
How do I get out of this one?
Well, the problem
hey,
is
it
you
happens.
Already read it.
It happens. You just hope that you're not next on the list of the gaffes.
This was making its rounds on social media yesterday, as that's the world we live in.
This is the problem. Back in the day, I'm sure if that happened, you laugh it
never,
off.
Well,
it's not a big deal.
You never hear about it.
But now, as soon as that happens, it's on that stage.
Awful announcing.
Oh, here's another one for
dead spin. It's
dead
it's
spin. Awful announcing. Yeah. I don't think you can avoid it.
But I mean,
that's funny.
We're laughing though, right? I mean, it
we're
could
laughing.
Be worse
it
could,
we're, because
we're
it could happen. It could happen to me
it's
tomorrow.
It's an innocent mistake, but we're laughing because he read exactly what
look
was in front of him.
Look on the teleprompter for the last two bullet points. Oops. I'm sure his mind went from being 100% looking at the field for the next, how are they lining up for the next play while I just read this, to, uh-oh, wait a minute.
I'm
that's
Dick
not
Stockton?
What's supposed to happen.
Who put the question mark up there?
It does have you flashing back to Anchorman.
I think
that's... If you haven't seen that movie, there's some issues with the teleprompter and Will Ferrell.
Well, that's what people were saying on social media. Dick Stockton had a Ron Burgundy moment.
Let's just be glad that there was nothing else written on that card.
Yes.
That could have been.
Like Ron Burgundy got in yes. trouble for.
He will read anything on the teleprompter.
All right. Let's do headlines for tomorrow. Well, in fact, if you come up with a winning headline, we'll send you down to Murfreesboro on Friday to see MTSU and Marshall. Tough loss for the Blue Raiders down in Birmingham on Saturday. They fell to UAB. Not good. But we'll send you that, a four-pack. How about that? A four-pack of tickets to Friday's game down at Floyd Stadium. But you have to give us the headline that we'll read tomorrow from tonight's Monday Night Football game. What will it say? What will the headline from Titans-Colts tonight read tomorrow?
Now, really,
take it wherever you want.
Now, remember, I'm just going to give you some advice up front. If you want to win this contest, remember you're giving a headline. You are not giving a three-sentence paragraph.
No. It's not a recap.
You can get away with kind of a sub. You can get like a sub-headline in there if you really want to push it. But the best ones are just the boom, boom.
737-1025. 737-1025. Your headline for tomorrow. Like Willie said, not your recap.
Not a paragraph.
Anybody have a
good
one?
Have you got one, Chase? Have you got one?
I'm thinking on it.
Something streak related. And I think that would be smart.
That would be
since
a theme.
That is
that
one
a
of
theme.
The themes around this
They've
game.
They've lost 11 in a row.
11 in a row.
11 in a row.
1-16 in the last 17 games between these two teams. So streak related. You don't have to, but my guess is if you're looking for a headline, something with that would make sense. Depending on how you feel, right? Depending on if you think the streak continues or if the streak ends. Guess that's up to you. All right, they're loading up the lines.
I'm impressed if people have good headlines without, you know, taking a whole lot of time. I'm still waiting for the formula to come to my head, my formula for a headline. You can work with the streak. You got the hammy.
You got the hammy. Yeah, that's a good point.
See, I'm trying to work
the Titans
both in.
Have hammies.
Yeah.
It's not just hammy.
By the way, it's not a hammy, but is Taylor Lewan okay?
Yeah, I think he's going.
Yeah, but
it's like Mariota. Look, here's the deal. When you have the significant drop off from the starter to the backup, in a game that means so much, sometimes you have to push it. I mean, if they had a backup that they could count on, like they've had in the past, well documented on this show, all the backup quarterbacks they've had, and Neil O'Donnell and Kerry Collins and Matt Hasselbeck and Billy Volek, guys that you could count on, then you could take a couple weeks off, 2, 3, 4, whatever it takes to get healed. Look, Kelly can do a good job backing up Taylor Lewan, but there's a significant drop-off. Taylor Lewan is one of the best left tackles in the game, so it's going to be a drop-off. No matter who's there, you're not going to have.
But they have a serviceable. Unlike quarterback, they have a serviceable backup there.
Okay, serviceable. But still, huge gap between starter and backup. So that means you're usually going to be pressed to the front.
He tried to play last week when he hurt it, and he just was not effective.
All right, let's go to, let's see, Tristan. Tristan, get us going.
Yes, the quote or the headline will be the streak is over. Like it's been 11 years, like how Florida beat Tennessee Florida last year, and Tennessee Titans will beat Indianapolis tonight.
Okay, so yeah. The streak is over. Simple.
Okay,
by the way,
the streak
is
over.
It's not 11 years. It's 11 games.
11 games.
Because they do play twice a season.
So did he really understand the concept of the
streak is over? Very kind of simple and to the point.
Okay, let's hope we can top that. We want cleverness, wittiness. Put yourself in the shoes of a newspaper editor,
or on the internet. You can do this on the internet. It doesn't have to be in a newspaper. You know, you read stories on the internet. They have headlines, Willie. Jeremy, what's your headline?
All right, my headline is Tennessee Titans fans get hamstrung by shocking loss to the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, boy.
Titans boy, hamstrung.
Hamstrung.
Okay.
All right, Jeremy, thank you. So he is not a believer in the streak ending tonight. Do we believe Jeremy was a Colts fan, or he's just a cynical Titans
skeptic.
Fan that says, you know, how am I supposed to believe? I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay, so let's say this too. You can throw him in on Twitter, Willie D 1025, Chase on Game, DMac underscore 1025 at 1025 the game. If you want to tweet us some headlines, those can work too. Here's what I think I'm going to go with here, Darren. And this is very simple and to the point. Holy hammy. The streak is over.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
That's what we're looking for. Now, did you get help?
No.
Or did you just come up with it?
I just came together.
Okay, I'm going to give it a go. Mariota streaks Titans to victory.
Okay.
I don't know how much streaking he can do.
Wait, haven't we had enough?
Wait a minute. What did I just say?
Haven't we had enough Will Ferrell references for one segment?
Nate on Twitter says Titans bulldoze the Colts. Let's see what Jason has to say. Jason, what's your headline?
All right, I got a headline with a sub. So the headline is Indy goes streaking. And the sub-headline is through the quad and into Nissan Stadium.
Nice. Like where your head's at, Jason. Very good.
Through the quad.
Who's with me? Indy goes streaking. I like when they're driving. Look at that guy.
Oh, hey, honey.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Is that your favorite Will Ferrell movie? Or is it Anchorman?
That's a question for another day.
Yeah, that's hard.
A lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones. Even his cameos are good.
Cameos.
Almost nunchucked you. 737-1025. All right, we'll come back with more. Keep them coming our way.
Tweet them in. Call them in.
Raul will keep getting people loaded up. We'll come back more phone calls. We want your headline. What's the headline going to read tomorrow? So far, got some good ones. Willie, the callers have done a good job, but right now I would say you're the leader in the clubhouse, but you can't win. I liked yours. Let me talk to you about the Vein Center. A lot of you have heard me talk about them, and maybe you've had this going on, and you didn't realize what was going on, and now you're going, maybe this tingling in my arms or my legs or my hands or my feet, maybe this is something I do need to get checked out. Or I've been dealing with leg cramping or weakness or cold limbs, limbs changing color. If that's never happened to you before, you may brush it off or say, this is part of getting older or this is, you know, arthritis, whatever. You may come up with an excuse on why you should not go see people that are experts in this field, like the board-certified surgeons at the Vein Center. They can help you if you've been going through this. These folks are local. They live right here in this community. I've been over to their Bell Mead location. I've sat down with Dr. John Kaiser. They have Dr. Snyder, Dr. Edwards, Dr. Lee. They have over 30 doctors at their three locations. You will sit down with one of them and find out what the heck is going on. And how can they help you? Because this is what they specialize in. This is not like having a cough or something. You know, it's easy to detect and go, I probably need to go in and get some medicine or I need to get something checked out. This is different. This may be something that you're experiencing for the first time. If any of these apply to you, get in there and see these folks at the Vein Center. Most procedures are covered by insurance. To call them and schedule an appointment, 615-269-9007. That's 269-9007. VeinReliever.com is their website. You can find out everything about them. If you need to get this checked out, go see the experts at the Vein Center. say that gets you fired up. I like that. I love that music.
I still like the original better. That's kind of the... I still like the classic 70s.
The jazzed up version?
Yeah, I don't think they're using this version anymore, but I just like this one with the drums.
You like this one?
Yeah, I do.
I like the heavier...
Can we get the original, the 70s one?
Yeah, I'll get it. Going out.
At Radio 852, I laughed out loud during the break. He tweeted us. Marcus pulls Titans to victory. Now, that's funny. That's good. That's what we're looking for.
That's good.
Marcus pulls Titans to victory. Former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders sent me his headline via text during the break.
Is it readable?
No.
Really?
No. It's funny. It's funny. But it's around a Titans victory.
Okay. A couple people on Twitter have used the fact that Luck is not playing to work in a headline. You can do something with that. But let's see what else we got here.
Al Gross on Twitter says, Marcus test hamstring versus Colts, and you won't believe what happens next. Click here. Internet headline. Let's make you fun of the Dick Stockton. Had parentheses. Right. Internet headline. Right. Yeah. That was funny.
Colts have no luck in Nashville. Streak ends. Colts' luck runs out as Titans end streak. So Jeff Tuttle, Jim Smith, same idea.
Mm-hmm. How about Joe? Joe, what's your headline?
Hey, guys, it's Monday night, right?
Yep.
So the reference, the headline reference has to be a Monday night reference.
Okay. Lay it
on. Turn on the lights. The streak is over.
Is that Michael McDonald?
It's Dandy Don.
Runs out. It's Titans end streak. Jeff Tuttle, Jim Smith, same idea.
All right, Joe. That's a tough.
Remember Don Meredith used to sing that?
Oh, I know.
So those that could go back.
I was trying to have fun.
Good.
All right, Willie, is this the theme you're referring to? Is that the original
Come
one?
No, that's not it.
It says score, the original theme to ABC's Monday Night Football, 1970 to 1975.
Okay, I'm sure this was it, but I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, but you said the 70s, and
if you say that is your best theme music,
isn't that awesome?
We are not ending the show.
Yeah, there's a reason you don't hear that one very often. Holy cow!
Okay, let's go to. Thank you, Joe, for singing yours. Ben, what's your headline?
You talking to me?
Yep.
Oh, sorry. This is Ben. I didn't catch you say my name. Yeah, I got a quick one for you. I'm going with the supposition that the Titans are going to lose. So I'm going to say Colts over my hammy. Parentheses on the bottom with Mariota re-injured. Titans calling cap.
Mm. All right. Thank you, Ben. I don't think that's going to happen after the latest story over the weekend. Especially since you hear that this may be, well, not maybe. I heard Mike Florio say this Sunday night on NBC. This is stemming from the Titans having no interest whatsoever. I mean, obviously his people reached out, and the Titans said, thanks, but no thanks. Once you go down this road, you file a grievance, I think it's pretty much over for Cap, don't we think?
Oof. Even if he wins.
Maybe he already felt that way. Maybe that's why he's doing this. But I don't think after this latest story that Kaepernick's going to be signing anywhere, including here.
That's the dilemma, is he may well win the grievance, but he may not help his chance. If the end goal is to get on a team eventually, I'm not sure this is the way to go. But he may figure, what do we have to lose? No, the phone's not ringing anyway.
Lee McDaniel. Colts, luck out. Streak continues. A lot of streak continues. I still go back to the 8 points. I cannot believe that line is 8. 8 points? a team that's 1-16 in their last 17 has lost 11 in a row. Eight? Look, I took them in pick six, Titans. Our line was 2.5 on Friday, and that was with a lot of uncertainty. There was no line at the time. I assessed it at 2.5. There was no line in Vegas because of the uncertainty of Mariota. So it's pretty much come out Mariota is going to play. You're going to give it a go, and the line goes up to 8. Wow. For a guy that's not 100%? If that doesn't tell you what the gap is between the starter and the backup, if it was Castle, would they be an underdog?
I think when they had the line at 2.5, it was the thought that perhaps Castle would play. So I think maybe that's your answer. It's on a neutral field, it's probably a pick 'em. If it's Castle against Brissett, Titans a slight favorite, but Mariota might be worth those points. I don't know.
Mark Hall on Twitter. Chuck is Pagan.
That's good.
Chuck is Pagan after Titans victory over Colts. I think he's going to be Pagan.
A lot of people, I think, are surprised that he's made it this long.
Yeah.
True?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got another one. Brissett is malarkey. Titans win.
Brissett is malarkey. Titans win. Okay. Brissett's the best thing they've got.
Do we have a strong winner?
Well, depends on did we include social media?
I think we have to. Those were some of our best selections.
They were. I was going to say our best ones were probably either you or social media.
This piece of news just coming in, no surprise to anybody. University of Louisville Athletic Association unanimously votes to fire Rick Pitino for cause.
Oh, shocking.
Wow. For cause being the key word, which means we don't think we owe you any money.
We're not paying you. That's what that means.
Lawyer up, baby. Both sides.
And if you didn't hear
earlier.
Or
as Andrew Brandt likes to say, there will be lawyers.
We need to get him on this week, talk about this grievance filed by Cap. We love talking to Andrew Brandt about that legal stuff.
Now, here's the classic original Monday Night Football. Okay. This is what I was talking about.
This is probably, I shouldn't have, this is my favorite.
It's been kind of souped up from time to time over the years, but this is the pure beginning.
Yeah. The Grizzlies are going to waive Wade Baldwin, if you didn't hear that earlier on the show. He was their first round pick last year. In 2016.
Roman Josi practiced today. PK Subban did not. Neither did Nick Bonino. Nor Yannick Weber. Stay tuned.
We'll have tons to discuss tomorrow. For sure. Jared and the GM are going to take over at Bar Lines. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, Derek loves you, and stay classy.